You are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeter. To support the show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeter.
It is Friday, March 3rd, 2017. My name is Sam Steeter. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. It's Casual Friday, folks. On the program today, Cliff Schechter. To look back at another week that was in the era of Donald Trump. Also on the program today, to extend his Twitter ranting and ravings, Andy Kindler will be joining us. Meanwhile, Jeff Sessions recuses himself, but that's not going to be enough as more Trump advisors reverse on their meetings with Russians. Meanwhile, EPA regulations under assault. Remember those folks in the Rust Belt and the Great Lakes who voted for Trump? Guess you just got screwed. Travel ban seems to be falling apart as ICE assaults dreamers. And the curious case of the Department of Justice succession rules. Meanwhile, top Dem on House Intelligence Committee accuses the FBI, particularly Comey, of withholding info. Comey may actually have a reason. And have a seat, folks. Mike Pence used personal email for government business.
And his account was hacked.
Turns out Seb Gorka doesn't have security clearance, but he certainly pretends he does.
I have double deep access security clearance.
And Daily Kos raises $1 million for the Georgia special house election. All that and more on today's program, ladies and gentlemen. We got a lot to get to, so I think we're going to just take a quick break and dial up Cliff Schechter. Just a reminder, folks, this show relies on memberships for 90, I think we're actually down to 97.3% of our revenue. So if you have the financial means to support the program, go to jointhemajorityreport.com and sign up. And as a bonus, we give you extra time daily. I don't know, extra hour, hour and a half these days we're going. Hour 45 minutes, I think we're going. Depends. We've been going long on the free show, too. And then I can't sleep. I had another one of those nights
last
night.
I like to talk.
I mean, but two nights ago, of course, the 10:30 thing, and then the drop, and then...
Jeff Sessions and my family. Everything's happening.
Twitter.
Twitter.
All just rolls into one. And folks, don't forget, justcoffee.coop. justcoffee.coop. Fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY, get 10% off. And if you buy your crap from Amazon or Jet, head over to majorityreportkickback.com. Click on either one of those links. Bookmark it. Buy your stuff always from those links. We get a kickback. You'll notice no difference. But like I say, we get a little kickback. All right, quick break. Talk to Cliff Schechter in just a few.
We'll be right back.
We are back. Sam Cedar on the Majority Report. Ladies and gentlemen, on the phone is the man who inspired this little ditty.
Cliff Schachter, Libertas LLC, New Media, Public Relations, and Strategy. You want any of these services, you know who you gotta see. Cliff Schachter, Libertas LLC.
Hello, Cliff Schachter. Another week of insanity.
Yes, Sam. Who knew? Who knew?
Well, I think we knew.
Have you had any calls with anybody this week and just sort of magically started talking about the Ukraine? Because I hear that just happens.
Actually, I get calls all the time, and people call in and talk about the Ukraine on this program.
I find that no matter, you know, what I'm talking about, whether it's the Super Bowl or...
I mean,
a nice museum I go to. The Ukraine just inevitably
like
comes
to discuss
up.
The Ukraine
well,
with
well,
me.
The strange part about that part of the Jeff Sessions press conference, and I know we got a lot of things to talk about. I know we want to talk about the Affordable Care Act. We may not get there because I know you're pressed for time. But let's get right into the Sessions thing. The strange thing about that is that would be a perfectly legitimate thing to discuss. It seems to me. If he came in and, why else would an ambassador meet with someone from the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, right? I mean, like, what's interesting is when you have a meeting with the ambassador, it seems to me that typical practice would be that you take some notes, that there are some notes of this meeting that you go back and refer to and say, this is what we discussed. And there was none of that. And, who knows what they discussed, but clearly they, it's
strange. That's the problem with all this stuff.
Right.
I mean, it's legitimate for a variety of people in our government going through regular channels to meet with certain Russian counterparts. They're a major power. They're a major economy. There's certainly plenty for people that are involved in the Armed Services Committee and others to talk with them about. I mean, there's a lot of things to discuss with them. It's the obviousness of how guilty all these guys are is by how they've reacted to it. It's that all the meetings are surreptitious, and when asked about it, they lied, and then later they don't remember. And this is, Flynn, we didn't talk about the sanctions. Oh wait, yeah, we did, or Sessions. Oh well, no, I never talked to them. I never met with them. Oh wait, I met with them twice, and we didn't. Oh yeah, the Ukraine came up as it does, in normal daily conversation. I mean, it's one sort of bullshit lie, after another. And that's what gives away the guilt of this group of people. I don't even know. I wasn't watching the other night. I saw a clip. I don't know if you were on Hayes the other night.
No.
When they had Carter Page on.
Last night.
But,
like
that response of, I can tell you I've never met with the ambassador outside of Cleveland, which really has to be an all-time great remark, by the way. It's like there was this girl in Philadelphia. It's kind of like that kind of a remark. There was this ambassador in Cleveland. Everything has a sort of subordinate clause or a caveat, or they leave something open to interpretation. So it's quite obvious they're lying about lots of things. And again, I can't say that I know the definitive truth of all this, but I mean, the more of this stuff that comes clear, it seems kind of more obvious, doesn't it? And now we find out another, bombshell drops that Kushner and Flynn met with him in person, which had not been shared with the ambassador, or I believe it was the ambassador, which hadn't been shared with us before either. Why don't we know these things? And frankly, as some people have said, have worked on campaigns, and I've worked on presidential campaigns, when you're in campaign mode and you're not an actual incumbent, so you hold no power, there is no reason to be meeting. There's a reason for Jeff Sessions to. There's no reason for Jared Kushner to be meeting with them. There's just none.
And Flynn.
There's no reason for foreign policy, advisors to Trump to be meeting with the Russians. So, I mean, there's so much here.
There's also, there was also another guy, this guy, J.D. Gordon, whose name I hadn't heard before, who apparently was the guy that pushed to alter the amendment in the GOP's draft policy on Ukraine. And he had said that he now claims that he was the one who pushed that amendment. In January, Gordon had told Business Insider that he had never left his assigned side table nor smoked publicly at the GOP National Security Subcommittee meeting where the amendment was proposed. I mean, it's just very odd. It's just odd.
And well, I mean, at what point do you get to where you're like, the Secretary of State had a medal pinned on him by Putin. The Attorney General had meetings with him that he lied about. Donald Trump had all sorts of contacts with him, clearly his campaign, that he lied about. You know, Carter Page, to the point of where we know he actually had meetings. Michael Cohen, Trump's lawyer, who's apparently got a business in the Ukraine, and because his wife's Ukrainian, he's over there meeting about, you know, he was over there meeting with these guys. We've got foreign intelligence services warning us that, you know, the Dutch and the British saying, by the way, there are Trump people meeting with. I mean, you know, really this point, if you want to put together a sort of chart, it would be you try to find who did not meet with the Russians, because this seems to be kind of the hazing part of joining the Trump campaign. It's, you know, kind of like what you have to do to get into a gang.
And again, listen,
the Trump campaign, you have to go meet with the Russians. That seems to be the thing you have to
and
do.
Here's the here's just the bizarre part is that, again, it is it's perfectly legitimate to meet with the Russian ambassador. It is I think it's also legitimate an incoming president to change foreign policy stance. And this may be a slightly radical change in some fashion. I'm not even convinced it's necessarily a bad idea to be more closely aligned with Russia in some ways than the second term of the Obama administration. But the argument that somehow these guys couldn't be forthcoming about it because of all the anti-Russia hysteria, but they could nominate Rex Tillerson to be the Secretary of State. Like, that just doesn't jibe. It just doesn't seem to make sense to me.
And Wilbur Ross to be, you know, Commerce, who's got, you know, who basically is oligarched up the you-know-what.
Right.
I mean, he's you know, got in all sorts of businesses with Russian oligarchs. Yes, all this stuff. I mean, I'm sorry. Yeah, it starts to look kind of
It looks a little
strange.
Weird. And then we haven't even gotten into this guy, Felix Sater, who is the who I think they're, you know, the reporting of that sort of stopped during when we were on vacation in some way, and so I haven't quite followed up on it. But it appears there's reason to believe that this guy Felix Sater was a Whitey Bulger character. Now let's just be clear on what that means. When we spoke back to the late Wayne Barrett over the summer. About Trump, and I think I've spoken to David K. Johnson about this as well. Felix Sater is this guy, a reputed Russian mobster who had stabbed somebody in the face at one point.
As they do.
But I, you know, the guy's got contacts, and apparently there was a story that came out over the course of our vacation that suggested he was an informant for the FBI, and they had been protecting him on several occasions. And some of it is in court records. And Whitey Bulger, of course, was the leader of the, I don't know, was it the Murray Hill gang up in Boston? I can't remember. Winter Hill, in Somerville. And he was protected by certain elements in the FBI up there because he was providing them information through the years. There is some suggestion that Felix Sater had that type of relationship with the New York FBI office. And so, you know, there's a lot more to come out about this. But here is one moment in the Jeff Sessions presser from yesterday. I want you to listen to this, Cliff. Neither one of us are attorneys, as you know.
No.
And so, you know, I don't know. But one of the things that you need as a requisite for perjury is to prove intent to mislead. And I don't know that we have that intent to mislead until you have Jeff Sessions answering the last question. And we have the question here, right? The last question in his presser. Now, folks, got to remember, we played the clip of Jeff Sessions answering Al Franken yesterday. He also, in a subsequent letter to Patrick Leahy, denied any contacts. Now, it's a subsequent letter. Listen to Jeff Sessions as to why he said what he said. He's given the opportunity. Did you just misspeak? Did you forget? And he, the chief law enforcement officer in the country, actually says no. Well, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but listen to what his intent was. He basically decided when he heard about that CNN story that he should not reveal it. Go ahead.
I should not be involved investigating a campaign I had a role in. One more question and we'll wrap this up.
Two questions, if I may. One, you were already considering recusal before today, is that correct? And secondly, when you answered Senator Franken's question, were you just not thinking of the meeting with the Russian ambassador, or did you not consider it relevant?
I was taken aback a little bit about this brand new information, this allegation that surrogates, and I had been called a surrogate for Donald Trump, had been meeting continuously with Russian officials, that's what I, it struck me very hard, and that's what I focused my answer on. And in retrospect, if I should have slowed down and said, but I did meet one Russian official a couple of times, that would be the ambassador. Thank you all. Take
okay.
care.
Now, that to me seems to be ample evidence of his intent. I heard this information. I was taken aback, and it struck me hard. So that's what I focused my answer on. In other words, I answered based upon new information that I heard and avoided telling the truth. And he says,
right. I lied because I heard that all these people had been meeting with him and I could have gotten in trouble.
Yeah. And then
I don't understand. How do you see that as anything else besides? I mean, that's the worst part of these guys. It's not just liars, they're really bad at it.
And let's not forget that when he says I should have slowed down and answered it in a better way, how fast was he going when he and his lawyers were sitting there answering this questionnaire from Patrick Leahy when he wrote an unequivocal no as to whether or not he had met with any Russian officials? I mean, this is just absurd. It's just absurd. The guy should be...
That's what I mean. I mean, it's you know, I mean, I don't want to get into the cover-up worse than the crime, the whatever, but in this particular case, it is their body language, it's the things they're saying, it's how uncomfortable they are with all of this that makes it so obvious. Again, there would be legitimate reasons for someone like Jeff Sessions to meet with the Russian ambassador with what he does. There would be. You'd have a harder time telling me there's legitimate reasons for Jared Kushner to be doing that. But there were some legitimate reasons for some of these guys. But they even lie about what could potentially have been explainable. And then they change their lies, and then they get caught, and then they look weird in the way they react. I mean, I'm sorry. When you connect, you'd have to just be – when I see some of these people who are trying to dismiss this stuff online, and they're mostly on the right, but there's a couple on the left too. Like, you just have to want to be willfully blind at this point.
Well, I can't.
Because there's too much. I mean, again, yeah. Well, I'm not saying I'm sitting here in a treasure trove of information, and I can connect point A to B and convict in a court of law. I'm just saying to say that there shouldn't be at this point an independent investigation is ridiculous. Especially considering what we've had independent investigations about.
What I am just starting to get, and I have really nothing to base this on other than that bizarre interview that Carter Page gave last night on Chris Hayes' program, is that I can't help but thinking, like, these folks, I mean, look, the fact that the Russian ambassador took that moment to go meet with that guy as opposed to anybody else on that committee just seems super odd. And it's not like, let's be clear, it's not like Jeff Sessions had a history of being soft on Russia. I mean, this guy was as Russia-phobic as anybody, it seems to me.
He had that timeline's easy, too. There's a bunch of meetings with them, and suddenly he's saying nicer things about Russia.
Well, he's got a relationship with Trump. I mean, so clearly that's why the ambassador went there. And maybe that's the extent of it. Like, he thought that he could start to build a relationship with somebody who was a foreign policy advisor to Trump. But I can't help but think that there's a quality to, like, what Carter Page was doing on Hayes's last night, where I can't help but think that, like, they're saying to themselves, like, we didn't get involved in this DNC hack at all. All we have is another illicit deal, and we're getting blamed for the wrong thing.
I know.
That's why the lies have less to do with what people are pursuing. I think they have to do with something else. And it's just, they get tripped up on it. That's one of the difficult things, apparently, about lying about obvious things.
Wasn't Carter Page wasn't he a Sessions aide?
He claims that he did not have a relationship with Sessions, that he now on Hayes's program last night, he claimed that he came to the Trump campaign via another way whose name he will not reveal.
Yeah, well, that's definitely makes it seem less murky. I mean, here's the thing. They may have, like, there may be a couple of different things going on here. Right?
I think there is.
There may be some deals with Putin and Putin's oligarch friends. There may be the hack. Who knows what else? But the point is they all come from the same universe. So there's a group of people here that are well-connected in Russian circles, and there are guys here who clearly, Manafort is a perfect example of that, have ties to the Republican apparatus and have for a long time, but have been making money in Russia for a long time too. So it's sort of like, well, they may want to help their party and hurt Hillary Clinton and put Trump in the White House, but they may also have been making money. They're also not mutually exclusive. It could be all
Absolutely.
Of the above.
Yes. And if you are one of those people, and I can count myself as one of these people who does not want to ratchet up tensions between the two countries with the largest nuclear arsenals in the world, then it becomes even more incumbent to have an independent investigation of this, because that's the only way this gets ratcheted down, right? I mean,
right.
You can't
leave
this stuff.
And that's the thing,
like,
I get tired of it when people who call this out get accused of, like, oh, you want another war with Russia? No, that's what I don't want. Actually, it's when these kinds of investigations happen and happen thoroughly, so we know what happened, then we can actually make a sort of decision based upon knowledge of the event, as opposed to imagining, which maybe we're imagining something worse. I don't know. But we certainly do have to know, in the age we're in, with cyber warfare, what it is, and propaganda, if other countries are attacking our system. It doesn't mean we have to nuke Russia in response, but we need to be aware of what's going on if we're going to defend ourselves. It's the same thing with China. It's not like I'm picking on Russia. Russia happens to be the ones that seems the Trump group climbed into bed with in a Moscow hotel, quite literally. But, you know, when it comes to this kind of, I mean, there are countries out there. We know that there are certain ones that are authoritarian countries that are vying for power in certain areas that have certain interests in, let's call them, less than earth-friendly forms of energy and other things. And so, you know, we have to have knowledge of what they're doing.
Well, and I say, aside from even the hacking thing, like, if there are top aides to Donald Trump, and if Donald Trump himself has got a deal of some fashion, whether it's not like some loan forgiveness for $600 million worth of loans or whatever it is, I don't want that really driving our foreign policy. I just think that's probably not a good idea.
It's why you want the investigation if you're somebody who wants our foreign policy driven by the best policy possible into him and China right now too, because they're rejecting his trademark of his brand and they're rejecting it. And he's threatening the one China policy. Then he gives in on it. Magically, they approve the brand, which is against Chinese law.
We just have
anybody who doesn't, you know, how can you not investigate that? I mean, that's the problem when you let somebody in power who has a million conflicts of interest and doesn't follow the rules and doesn't care.
Right. I mean, this is all stuff that ultimately, emanates from that poison fruit, or I should say that poison seed. What is it? The poison...
fruit of the poison tree or
yes,
something?
Yes, the poison tree of lack of disclosure of his business interests. All right, just one more thing. We got 2 minutes here because I know you got to go. The ranking member on the House Intelligence Panel, this is Adam Schiff, says, announced yesterday that he was contemplating that the investigate that their committee might have to subpoena the FBI because he said, I would say at this point, we know less than a fraction of what the FBI knows. I appreciate we had a long briefing and testimony from the director today, but for order us to do our investigation in a thorough, incredible way, we're going to need the FBI to fully cooperate, to be willing to tell us the length and breadth of any counterintelligence investigations they're in conducting. At this point, the director was not willing to do that. Now, this has been interpreted in two different ways, and I think legitimately so. One was that maybe Sessions was telling the FBI, do not share this information. I'm your boss. Do not share this with the committee. And is trying to stifle this investigation. And that's why we saw some pushback from these intelligence agencies to leak, to give them some space to do this investigation. And or it could be, getting back to my off-the-wall theory, that Comey doesn't want to tell Adam Schiff because sitting across from Adam Schiff is the chair of the committee, this guy Nunez, who was a Trump transition official. And maybe Comey doesn't want Nunez to know what's going on because he's afraid that's going to get back to the Trump administration. We have no way of knowing.
Right. And that's what that's the big problem here, and those are the big issues here, is how opaque all of this is. And that's what happens when we start sort of ignoring norms of behavior when you've got, you know, Nunez himself, as well as Burr, who's the Senate Intelligence Committee, trying to sell the Trump line on that the Russia thing's nothing and all this kind of thing to the media. So, you know, they're playing that role for him. And so, why would you – anything that goes to those guys, do you think that's not getting back to Trump? I mean, so many of these people that once were sort of, you know, whatever you think of them, at least had a loyalty to sort of the conservative end of American policy, you know, what's their – I mean, who the hell knows what their loyalties are now?
Indeed.
I don't know.
Indeed. Well, Cliff, listen, I know you got to jump. I appreciate your taking the time to – to recap about one thousandth of the insanity that took place this week. But that's
well,
just...
after missing last week and the short one this week, we'll have to talk longer next week. But
indeed.
I'm off to an overnight place that has water slides with my now 7-year-old and 10 of his good friends. So if I'm not
You're
alive
kidding.
Next week.
Oh, my God. That sounds like actual fun.
I think it will be, but if they kill me, I'll find a fill-in.
All right.
You guys.
I appreciate that. Cliff, have fun.
Thank you. Take care, guys.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
God, I want to do that.
Are you kidding me? You want to be responsible for 10 kids going in water?
7-year-olds? You can let them go around the park.
Just
don't be that responsible.
Oh, my God.
I wonder if they have a bar there.
What the fuck?
Okay, now, Kelly, just calm down.
No.
That's not appropriate.
11-year-old, like Mila's age, like that's fine. Like lifeguards and you keep an eye on them. No,
you know what I did? A good friend of mine, son, is 13 years old. And actually, the voice of the Majority Report, John Benjamin's son, is 13 years old. And they went to a paintball thing last week over vacation for his birthday party. And Mila and I went, and it was probably the funnest thing I've ever done in my life.
Not to be...
taking out 13-year-old kids
I'm
with
really
paintballs.
Not to be
super fun.
That sounds amazing.
Miss Buzzkill as
I would
usual,
love to shoot some people with paint guns.
Paintball is not going into water, which causes deaths.
What?
Many deaths.
Lots of kids swim, Kelly.
What are you talking about?
Do you know that lots of kids swim and they don't
doesn't
drown.
Go into water?
What?
Lots of kids drown every year. You can't just like
at
be
water
like,
parks?
I'm not responsible
A 7-year-old's not going to drown at a water park.
Jesus
Christ. I think you're inflating the risk here, Kelly.
Kelly?
Oh, my God. You guys.
We'll undermine America through water park. It will kill youth in America.
Well, listen, I want to get back to Nunez. I get distracted here.
Don't go into the water parks.
Kelly's getting, that's the water,
water park.
All right, you Google the stats on water.
Are you serious? We're entering into serious Rain Man territory here.
All right. Well, call Cliff. Tell him stop.
Yes. Get out of here. Why are you sitting here? Go call Cliff. Get the out of here.
There's
lives to be saved.
Cliff will watch the kids. He won't think it's a grand old time and
Cliff
go to
won't
the
watch
bar.
The Cliff. Kids will be, Cliff will be like tweeting there. About Russia or something. Cliff will be totally distracted.
All
Cliff
right.
will be perfecting a Trump like hair joke while a kid's dying. Get on the phone.
All right. So as I was saying, we have this story of, again, and we've seen this now multiple occasions, right? A couple of months ago, I think even before the inauguration, we had congressional leaders meeting with James Comey. He refused to even acknowledge that there was an investigation going on of the Trump administration. Now with the Intelligence Committee, same thing, or at least the details. We know there's something going on. We know that there's an investigation happening. We just don't know what the details are. What's also clear is, and depending on your perspective, we have members of the intelligence community and the law enforcement who are engaged in an orchestrated campaign of leaks, which you either can perceive as an assault on a democratically elected president simply because they don't like his politics, presumably because they don't want him to develop a closer relationship with Russia, or as whistleblowing that is going on to create space for them to continue their investigation. Now, we now know from reporting that the Obama administration clearly thought there was, clearly had reason to believe that this intelligence that they had regarding Trump's relationship with Russia would be quashed. And so they went on a concerted campaign to spread it around. We also know, and we'll discuss this in a moment, that President Obama changed the succession order for the Department of Justice, for the Attorney General. This is going to be relevant in a moment. I mean, but here is Representative Schiff. He comes out and accuses Comey of withholding information. The reason why he may be doing that is because here is the guy who would get this information first. It is Representative Devin Nunes of California, who is the House Intelligence Chair, who is not only someone who worked on the Trump transition campaign, but is so actively trying to quash this stuff with the media that he took this occasion of Jeff Sessions about to give a press conference to recuse himself to basically threaten the press.
What are the reasons that the FBI can't be as forthcoming as you might like?
It's not a matter of them not being forthcoming. It's a matter of them providing us timely information when they can get it to us.
Why can't they?
I would assume that because it's quite complicated as it relates to if, for example, you were on the phone with the Russian ambassador and somehow your phone call got recorded, would you want them turning over that phone call and that transcript to the committee?
Wasn't there a difference that would go between a public person and a private person?
Well, that's the point here. General Flynn was a private American citizen, so look, I'm sure some of you are in contact with the Russian embassy, so be careful what you ask for here, because if we start getting transcripts of any of you or other Americans talking to the press, then we can. Do you want us to conduct an investigation on you or other Americans because you were talking to the Russian embassy? I just think we need to be careful.
Mm.
These people are not subtle. I think that is really the hallmark of the age.
Yeah.
They, even when they're trying to do like a, hey, you know, it would be a shame if blah, blah, blah. By the end of it, they're like, yeah, what if I investigated you?
But getting back to the first part of this, hold on. It's important to just hear what he's saying.
About the Flynn part?
He is covering for Comey not to give this information. And it is unclear whether or not Comey is not giving him this information because he doesn't want Nunez to know it so that Nunez can start to circle back to everyone who they have information on and say, hey, you can get away with saying X. You can't get away with saying Y. I mean, the way that this investigation is going to go, if it's a legitimate investigation where Comey is actually trying to bust some members of Trump's orbit, is they're going to get them on the line. They're going to get them lying to federal officials. And the way that you make sure that you don't lose that arrow in your quiver is to not allow the subjects of investigations to know what you know. And so this could, or it could be that Comey is just stonewalling. But if Comey's stonewalling, the only thing that leads me to believe that Comey is not stonewalling is that Comey would be on fire right now about the FBI agents and the other counterintelligence officials who are leaking huge amounts of information about Jeff Sessions, about these other Trump aides. I mean, there's a concerted effort that's going on here. And either Comey is sitting on just an FBI that's fully at civil war with itself, right? I mean, we know there were problems coming out of New York, out of the New York office during the election. And if there's another faction of which Comey is like in between these two different factions of the FBI and the CIA, I mean, I would imagine you'd see Comey and Jeff Sessions using their apparatus more aggressively on these whistleblowers. We are so in the dark here that, and who knows? I mean, frankly, you know, again, I am offering zero confidence in anything I am saying.
Interesting. I mean, Comey's kind of well positioned either way.
He's well positioned.
I mean, because he's ingratiated himself with these people because he basically handed them the election. And on the other hand, he could be playing a much longer game, which really would be like the end of a mob movie.
I don't know what show I was watching. Maybe it was Chris Matthews at like the replay at 12:30 at night last night.
Ooh, you really had a rough night last night.
It was a rough night. I worked for a couple hours at a place I work once a month, but.
Sam has a side gig as a barista.
I have a side gig as a barista.
He's really rude.
But so I got home late, and then I need to I need to catch up. And so there was one guy who did come on and say, you know, James Comey is really well situated because of what he did with Clinton to bring these charges and to be inoculated,
yeah,
which
exactly
was
right.
My old off-the-wall theory. Like I say, maybe that's the case, maybe it's not. Maybe Adam Schiff knows exactly what he's doing by coming out and complaining about this. He's just making sure that Devin Nunez doesn't think that that he's satisfied with what's going on. I have no idea. I honestly have no idea. I'm at a loss with all of this. I'm just throwing out different theories out there for you and saying that I have confidence in none of them over any others. Just to make it clear that there is, for every theory that you hear, there's an alternate theory. And, you know, you could watch that, and we'll play clips of Carter Page on Chris Hayes' program last night. That can be interpreted in about a million different ways. A million different ways. Let me just, and we're going to get to Andy Kindler in just a minute or two. But I want to just cover some actual news that is not just about the sort of meta story of how the Trump administration may be some type of weird Manchurian, who knows. There are two big things that are going on right now. One is that Scott Pruitt, who also incidentally lied to the Senate confirmation hearings that he underwent when he said that he did not use private emails for government business. Turns out he did. You've got a couple of entities that are trying to access those. Mike Pence also used personal emails for state business, and he was hacked. He was using AOL.
Mother, can I use AOL?
You know he calls mother, right?
He calls his mother?
No, he calls his wife mother.
Oh, God.
Yep. And yes, oh, God. Very fitting.
There's two other important stories. I mean, one is that the EPA has called their budget proposal calls for cutting the climate protection program by 70%. Just to give you a sense of their priorities. What's the 30% left? I'm sure it's some tax incentives to fill in
Carl
swamps,
Icahn's
swamps
like
and malls.
Indirect, yeah, exactly.
Empty Wheel, Marcy Wheeler on Twitter points out on a breakdown of the biggest losers of in Trump's EPA budget. Somebody had put this up there. The San Francisco Bay loses all of its funding, 100% of its funding to restore it and to keep it clean. The Great Lakes, in 2016, there was $300 million worth of restoration. That has been cut to $10 million. That's a 97% decrease. Endocrine disruptors. These are chemicals put into our water by different corporations because it was cheaper for them to just dump it into water rather than actually dispose of it, that screw up our endocrine system. The funding to mitigate those has been cut by 94%. Environmental education cut by 94%. Chesapeake Bay cut by 93%. Puget Sound cut by 93%. The U.S.-Mexico border cut by 91%. And radon work. That just gives you lung cancer. That's not a big deal. Cut by 93%. Those Great Lakes, I hope you guys in Michigan and Wisconsin who voted for Trump are happy about that. Hopefully it's not the people.
I think they wanted to protect the Great Lakes, but they were so frustrated by the fact that Milo wasn't given a fair exchange of ideas.
They just
at college campuses that they just had to vote for Trump.
It's the only way they could do it.
It's the only way. And in fact, if you don't pollute the Great Lakes as a liberal, you open the door for a much greater pollution of the Great Lakes.
You create a vacuum
of
pollution.
Yeah.
And so there's no pollution there, and then pollution's going to move in.
Yeah.
The other
story. They actually say that about China.
The other story is
that's, you know what? That's a good catch right there. They do.
The other story that is important for you to know is the Affordable Care Act, replace and repeal project that the Republicans have going. They are at such war with each other that they have literally written the bill and hid it from the Senate, from Democrats, and from members of the House even.
Can't see it.
Because they're afraid that people are going to analyze what's in the bill before it gets passed, and it's going to make it harder for people, Republicans, to vote for it, both because it is, in many respects, rumored to be a one of those, like, Obamacare into Trump care type of things. Like, we're just going to change the name of it and keep a lot of these things.
If I had to guess, I think it will be a chintzier version of Obamacare rebranded as Trump care. I do think that's where they're going.
How devastating it'll be to people is a function of those risk pools, whether or not they, we'll see, and the Medicaid expansion.
Right.
But here is Rand Paul basically doing like one of those Where Waldo things. The way that he wanted to publicize this was to walk around the Capitol pretending he was looking for the bill. Here he is stopping to talk to the media about it. Oddly enough, he bumped into George Bush, who was still looking for those weapons of mass destruction.
Paul,
joking about that. Here he is. He's just knocking on doors, looking around. Did not come across George Bush. That was a joke.
So we're here today because I would like to read the Obamacare bill. If you recall, when Obamacare was passed in 2010, 2009, 2010, Nancy Pelosi said, "You'll know what's in it after we pass it." The Republican Party shouldn't act in the same way. We want to see the bill. We have many objections. There are many parts of what they're proposing, and of course, we've not gotten any of this in writing. I got it from Politico. All right?
I haven't gotten anything
in writing from anyone. So we're here asking for a written copy of this because this should be an open and transparent process. What we are hearing the rumors of is that parts of Obamacare are left in place. For example, the Cadillac tax is going to be left in place and renamed. The individual mandate is going to be left in place. And instead of the government paying the government the penalty, you're going to pay the insurance company. So these, to me, are Democrat ideas dressed up in Republican clothing. There is also a refundable tax credit. This means that you will get back someone else's money and that this will be a subsidy to about 40 million people. And the thing is that these should be debated in the open. In my state, in Kentucky, it's illegal to do this. You can't have legislation locked behind closed doors in my state.
Make a path.
This is being presented as if this were a national secret, as if this were a plot to invade another country, as if this were national security. That's wrong. This should be done openly in the public, and conservatives who have objections, who don't want Obamacare light, should be allowed to see the bill.
He cannot stay on script.
The irony of what he said, that it's a... Democrat bill dressed up in Republican clothing, is that actually it's a Republican plan dressed up in Democrat clothing, dressed back into Republican clothing.
I do find it very plausible that the biggest shift in policy would be penalty goes straight to insurance companies. That does sound like a pure Republican idea. Let's use the state to personally coerce people to enhance the profits of parasitic middlemen.
That's the definition of
Republican
Affordable
governance.
Affordable Care Act did that too. I mean, we would pay massive subsidies.
Well, that's why it's a Republican plan.
Yes, exactly. And I don't know why, you know, the idea that this is a Democrat plan dressed up in Republican clothing. I mean, if it was really just not a genuine Republican plan, then why would the Republican Party, which controls every branch of our government, be pushing it?
But isn't that the great part about Rand Paul, that like he just, especially in light of the fact that people forget this, but like a couple years ago, he was on the Time magazine cover, like, look at the new political phenom coming from Kentucky. Like, he's a libertarian who's willing to talk to black people, you know, like he's really electrifying the American political scene. And of course, his campaign was a total failure. And it's just funny that, like, he seems to genuinely not be quite up to date with the level of cynicism of all of his colleagues. So it's like, of course they don't want anybody to read this bill.
He's just pushing his own
and he's pushing his own particular brand his core brand proposition. Part of my core brand proposition, in addition to being wary of the Jews and saying that, look, it's not black people's fault, it's just like the bell curve and culture and whatever, is that you got to be able to read the healthcare bill. And some of my Republican colleagues would like to use the government to further enhance the profitability of insurance companies. But as far as I'm concerned, if there's still protections for people who are sick, screw them.
All right. We got to take a break. Get Andy Kindler on the phone. We'll be right back with more. It's a throwback, interstitial music from the original Majority Report, which apparently turns out to be punk rock jam. Ladies and gentlemen, speaking of punk rock, how's this for a punk rock tune?
With a Jew like Andy Kindler, you know you can't go wrong. His ancestors wrote the God Bless America song. A true Obama bot, and he believes Obama can never be wrong. Yeah, and a kidler.com. You made me laugh so hard, I had to write you your own theme song. Andy Kindler,
so apropos to have you on with the both the massive increase in anti-Semitism across the country. Also, they found supposedly they've arrested one guy who did like five or six or seven copycat, bomb threats. But I spoke to Mark Potuck on the other day from the Southern Poverty Law Center. At least 40% of like 1,300 events that they have spoken to people to of hate crimes referenced the perpetrator actually referenced Donald Trump in them. So it is so wonderful to have a Jew like you on the program today.
According to a poll that was released by Rasmussen, 40% of the increase in anti-Semitism can be attributed to my act.
Is that right?
Yeah, just
it's legit. It's partially legit.
Yeah, well, I have people. You know, they have those clickers or whatever, or dials they hook people up to. And the more I start to go into the Yiddish with the schwitzing and the schmata, you can see the hate increase.
Now it sounds like you have of a cold or something. Do you?
I do. I have something wrong with my voice. Mm. I've got to cut down on the cocaine. Bop, 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 bop. Boo, boo, boo. I've been on nasal pasta since Hillary lost.
Nasal pasta. Is that like what you guys say in show business? You call that?
It's been snowing. It's been snowing in the bathroom since Hillary lost.
You guys lifting the tops off of toilets a lot and putting them, is that what you do?
Well, let me tell you something, Sam. I tried Coke once, but I couldn't get the bottle up my nose. I don't like cocaine. I just like the way it smells. Folks, you can hear all of my old hilarious cocaine material on Kindler Does the Drugs.
Is that the new album that's coming out?
New album coming out, Killer Does the Drugs.
You got to rush out.
And I do things like a,
that immediately.
I have lines like, the band is waiting for the boat from Columbia to come in, that kind of stuff.
Andy, it's been a another hard week for you on Twitter, I've noticed.
Oh, really?
Well, I'm just saying in terms of like you got really angry at the beginning of the week at Van Jones.
I got angry a couple of days ago with Jeff Zeleny. Oh, that Jeff Zeleny. Oh my God, I can't. If
can I just stop you there for one moment and just say
he's your friend. No. I know he's your friend.
No.
I know your wife and Jeff Zeleny are in business together. I know what you're gonna say.
No. What I'm gonna say is I just want people to take a moment and just contemplate that there is no single other podcast. In fact, no other form of media. In fact, I would go even further. There is no conversation that you could have where you would ever hear the words, I'm so mad at Jeff Zeleny. I have no idea who that guy is. Who is that?
Don't get me started on Breonna Keeler.
Who's Jeff Zeleny?
Jeff Zeleny is ostensibly a New York Times. Anybody who wrote for the New York Times who ends up on TV is automatically horrible, whether it's your Maggie Haberman. The guy who's really bad is Jeremy Peters. He's the worst.
Oh, Peters, give me a break, right?
Yeah, he's the one who said, come on, Democrats, if you think Trump just won because of racism, maybe it's time for you to look in the mirror. And that's the way he talks, too.
Wait, so that was actually a column in the Times? If he really thinks he won because of racism, bitty, 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 bitty.
Jeremy Peters sounds like what guys used to do back in the day when they got into radio. They're just like, my name's Jeremy Weissning, but that's not going to work on radio, so I'm just going to take somebody like it'll be Jeremy Stew or Jeremy Peters.
Jeremy Stew here. The idea that Donald Trump got because of racism. So, ridiculous.
Andy.
My porno name was Ron Jeremy Peters.
Andy.
Hello? The line has gone dead.
The line has gone dead. We have now up on our screen in our studio, Matt has searched Twitter for Andy Kindler and Jeff Zeleny. And there's been there was a lot of tweets at the beginning of we got to go through some of these. He decided on his own that Trump had a lot to do with the speech last night. Trump can't read, write, or think. CNN blows, you wrote. I'm on a plane that only provides CNN. I may jump out a window. Remember when people are saying with a straight face that Jeff Zeleny is a great journalist? It's lying to pretend a racist fascist isn't.
Can I just say something? You know what strikes me is the great irony of all this? I can only think of one
how articulate? Is it how articulate I am?
And also how stable you sound. But
what?
I'm just kidding. No, but you know, there's only one other person who I could think of that hates CNN as much as you do, Andy.
Who's that?
That would be the president.
Oh, that's well, fake news. No, I'm with him.
I'm with him. Hashtag.
Wait a second. Keep that up. Keep that up because it doesn't. It's not just something that you did this week. Apparently, it goes back even into August. You said Jeff Zeleny says Judicial Watch is a conservative watchdog group. Before Jeff decided to be a CNN hack, was he interested in journalism?
Oh my God! And the thing that's amazing is the genius quality of my slams. That's what impresses me. Never has anyone taken the piss out of someone in such a clever way. What are you, an idiot, Jeff Zeleny?
Hey, Andy.
Or maybe I'll say, hey, Jeff Zeleny, not so good with the information.
Hey, Andy. How about Jeff Zeleny, fake news. Fake news. Doing a terrible job. And every time I see him on the panel, it's pro-Trump.
Jeff Zeleny,
Jeff
more
Zeleny?
Like Jeff bothers me.
More like what?
More like Jeff bothers me.
Fake news. Fake
Jeff,
news.
More like Zealousny. Why don't you change your name to Jeff Zealousny?
Zealousny defends Trump because he's bad at his job. Do you see?
Andy, you might be one
Jeff
of...
Zealot. Jeff Zeleny. Maybe I'll be one of those guys who says Hillary rotten Clinton or something like that.
Andy, you might be one of the most angry, consistently angry people on Twitter that can actually spell and use this grammatically correct sentences.
Shut up, Susan! Shut up! That's my wife. That's my wife. Shut up, Susan! Shut up! I'm on the goddamn Majority Report. Fuck! I gotta fuck. I'm goddamn it, Susan. I'm doing a radio show. No, I'm not that angry. Why would you say that?
That
shut
sounds
up,
so
Susan.
Affable.
Shut up.
Is your wife telling you to just like dial it back a little bit?
She's cowering in the corner right now. Shut up.
Now wait a second. What's this with the Van Jones thing? You said at one point Van Jones destroys career in quotation boycotts Larry Wilmore again. What was that about?
All right. Well, Van Jones really is absolutely the most self-aggrandizing, hackiest garbage. See, I just get mad and I start saying garbage. He's the one who, when Larry Wilmore at the end of his speech said he was keeping it 100 and he did a little thing with Obama, Van Jones then said, I'm boycotting Larry Wilmore's show.
Use the N-word, Andy.
Wait, why? I don't understand. Why?
Because of the N-word.
Because he used the N-word.
Called Obama his... I'm being very cuckish right now, but I won't say the word. He said at the end of his speech, he said, you'll always be my, you know.
And so Van Jones said, I'm going to boycott the show?
Yeah, and then it was really awkward because Andy kept tweeting
meanwhile,
other people.
Said, Van Jones, meanwhile, N-word, Van Larry Jones, Moore, when people use the word by saying, he's not my N-word, he's just an N-word, he'll go and interview them and put them on CNN to find out why they voted for Trump.
Oh, yeah, because he has a stupid garbage show. Garbage. A show that even if the garbage man was coming by, he wouldn't pick it up. He'd say, bring this garbage to the toxic waste dump. He's got this stupid, messy truth. He's the worst performer in the world. He's a hack.
He's not that bad. Jesus Christ.
Who?
Van Jones? Is that really that bad?
Let me finish. He's exactly the kind of guy we should be having more of. He stinks. He stinks. Did you see what he said the other night about...
Yes. Oh,
and now Bush has become...
The Trump.
Not Bush. Trump has become president. And then he went on the next day to defend himself.
It's part of his core brand proposition. Like you said, his show back in December, you were saying his show is called should be called False Equivalency with Van Jones.
I do really like that.
Do you believe, do either of you guys believe for one second, hold on a second, you'll stay in the closet, Susan, till I tell you. I'm sorry, this bitch getting so old. No, well, I'll give you food later.
I'll hit you if you move, Bubby.
Do you believe for one second that we're going to find middle, like, okay, we have the Nazis here, the Nazis are here, and the Jews are here. And now let's see, it's Germany 1933. Let's see if the Nazis and the Jews can find some common ground.
No, I do. I actually love that juxtaposition. Like, I am never going to speak to Larry Wilmore again. Excuse me, sir. Can I ask you a question? Oh, maybe not. I didn't support your nigger president. Yes, that's exactly what I want to interview on my show.
Exactly.
Yes, see? Now, you're using harsh words, but I need to understand why you're using those harsh words.
Maybe
it's
we
my
could,
problem.
Maybe we could bring you and Van Jones together so you could explain to him that Larry Wilmore was using it as a part of irony.
Oh. You had me at you and Van Jones together.
But can we be honest? Larry Wilmore's show is really not very funny.
No, it wasn't.
Wasn't? I mean,
it's off the air.
Yeah, but it was not a funny show.
Yeah, but you wouldn't boycott it.
Well, when he called President Obama the N-word, I did. I thought it was terrible.
Let's not make Larry Wilmore the as Albert Brooks said in Lost in America, I'm not some schmuck who came to see Wayne Newton, and then he goes, I should never have used a celebrity as a dividing line. All right, let's not make this.
What do they put on after the Daily Show now? What did they replace Larry Wilmore's show with?
I don't know.
Tosh 2.3.0, or what is it?
Well, Trevor Noah, they're trying to find shows with people who even the next thing is, who knows even less about America? Let's get a guy who's never even been to America to host a show about American politics.
Trevor Noah is really electrifying.
Well, I mean, to be fair,
looks it's like the German David Letterman. The German David Letterman is hosting a new show.
To be fair, John Oliver has captured, you know, reports on American politics as well as anybody.
He takes the business of it.
That's true. If only he were funny.
Whoa.
I don't get John. No, Michael, yeah. I am with you. I like John Oliver. Yes. I liked when he confronted, who's the guy in the Soviet Union? Or not the Soviet Union, when he went to the Soviet Union.
Interviewed
what's
Edward
the name of
Snowden.
That country now?
Interviewed Edward Snowden in Moscow.
That was great. I enjoyed that. But a lot of the jokes seem over the top.
All
to
of his jokes ended like, can you believe? Like, it's all just this, like, yeah. Force.
His podcast.
He's not funny.
He was doing a podcast for the Times of London back when the phone hacking scandal went. And it is actually a hilarious thing to
Paul
listen
Mall
to.
Paul Mall says what?
Because they kept going like, is this on? Is anybody listening to this at the Times because they were ripping Murdoch the whole time?
No, I don't mean, I'm sure. I mean, he was funny at times. He's not like an unfunny guy, but the show's not funny.
I think it's hard to deliver that level of journalism, frankly.
Yeah, ProPublica is doing the research, I think, for
his
show.
Yes, I'm 100% with you, Sam.
I think it's you got to be just attitudinal and have an accent.
Yeah, it's not funny, but
that's what I'm trying to do.
What are you with Sam on? What's
it? Because he was saying that it's hard to
it's a hard
deliver.
Thing to pull off.
It's hard to do both. Be really good at journalism and be really, really funny. I think John
somehow
Oliver
we pull it off.
Tucker Carlson's
pretty good.
Somehow we do it. Yeah,
John
Tucker Carlson
Stewart
does a great,
great
job
at it.
Tucker Carlson.
I guess
well,
you haven't
actually,
seen Jeff Green. You haven't seen Jeff Greenfield.
Actually, to be fair, I don't know why I could actually even say that would be difficult. When I am literally now looking at an image of Dennis Miller on the O'Reilly Factor.
Oh, I
gotta
hear
this.
We've
got this queued up. He apparently was on with Bill O'Reilly this week, Wednesday. I know how much you love to hear from the D-man.
Oh, let's do it.
And when it's Miller time, and when he's on with
I just have a fucking wife, Dennis Miller.
So now, wait a second. Why does that say the O'Reilly Factor 20? Do we know what that's about?
I don't know if that's 20 years. I thought they maybe left the 17 off the thing, but
it's okay. So this could be the 20th year of the O'Reilly Factor this year. It's a weird way to do like .20. But okay, here is Dennis Miller on the O'Reilly Factor. Andy, listen. Colin.
She really didn't do anything. She just wanted the experience, Miller. Is there anything on this planet that you want to experience that's on your bucket list?
Well, Billy, I brought my bucket list right here.
Hold on, pause it. Now, Andy, I mean...
Oh, there a bucket? Is he holding up a bucket?
Kindler. This is the way I like to do it. Kindler. What you can't see is he's just held up a bucket.
Oh! That's rich!
Okay, let's let it roll. Here we go.
Well, Billy, I brought my bucket list right here.
Oh, wait a second. Hold on, pause it. Kindler, he's the D-man brought up a bucket, and then it's bucket list. Out of the bucket, what did he bring out?
A list?
Bingo! Keep going. That's why Kindler is a comedic genius.
Now, Sam, the origination of this hilarious bit was when a comic would go, I prepared some remarks, and then would have a scroll go down the stage. You know what I mean? They just go down, toilet paper-sized scroll. Hilarious!
Okay, let's listen in.
And quit being so literal. All right, there's my...
Oh, my God.
I brought my bucket list right here. Item number one, quit being so literal. All right, there's my...
All right, now pause it. Now, here... go ahead.
He's a comment on comedy, right? That's where he's a genius. That's where he's doing inside comedy. Literally, he said.
Yes. What he doesn't seem to know is what a bucket list is. He thinks it's resolutions. He thinks it's resolutions. But my understanding of a bucket list is things that you want to do, like almost like
before
your
you
dreams, you know, your bucket of dreams that I want to accomplish before I die.
Before you kick the bucket.
Yeah. Miller, it's like stuff you want to do before you die, like drag your fucking bitch wife down the stairs by her hair. Stuff like that. Check.
Okay, so Dennis Miller starts off his bucket list with making it clear he doesn't know what a bucket list is, but let's go. let's continue to listen in. This should be good.
Item number two, and this is something I've always wanted to do. I have them written down here. I've always wanted to arrest an old woman.
Oh my God, O'Reilly!
Oh my God!
Charity laughs. So crazy at age 99 in the Netherlands, in Holland, because Meals on Wheels delivers hashish in Holland. So that's why she was so out there.
A little sprightly, you're saying?
Yeah, a little. That's why you have inventive thoughts when you're in the Netherlands. What else would I like to do? I would like on my bucket list to cast a vote for the first woman president sometime in my lifetime, who, as it turns out, is a transgendered man. That's one thing
coming.
I'd like to do.
Yep.
Oh,
I would
wow.
like to live in Rome
oh,
for a
just,
year. And
they just got,
serious.
Sorry, transgendered
like
people, you just
Everest.
Got served.
Down, but not up. That's the caveat on this one. Down, but Pause not it. Up.
So this is just a straight comedy bit that they're bringing in onto O'Reilly, but... you know, so far, how would you, as Kindler, as a comedian yourself, how would you, I mean, how do you think it's going so far for Dennis Miller?
Well, first of all, I'm very proud of him. You know, he's got the, they bring hashish on Meals on Wheels on Netherlands. That's ripped from the headlines of 55 years ago that you get to smoke pot in the Netherlands.
What's
and
amazing,
he's right on top of it.
You know what
What's
I like,
amazing,
though?
Too, is that we have, what, like three or four states now in the country where recreational marijuana is legal. He didn't even know. Maybe he's not caught up to that
I
yet.
Have about a 15-year lag time in cultural references. Bada bing, bada ba.
No, but you know what I liked
I'm
about
working
that?
In this whole Maine legislation for a bit I'm doing in 2035.
Let me tell you something. In 2040, the material I have on Colorado will knock your socks off. Ba-da-ba. Me and O'Reilly will be there sucking alcohol from catheters, and I'll have an amazing routine on Washington State ganja.
I got so many jokes on states that are passing marijuana recreationally that it's like a room full of trebles.
You should see the Avengers material I have planned for 2025. You know what
hey,
I like?
John Denver. John Denver. Got the Colorado Rocky Mountain High, I guess, huh?
Well, that actually is a
cross-time
reference. That's already
John
more
John Denver's clever. In the news again.
It's like the time the Klingons came in and found that there wasn't enough tribbles to sell at the Zargon.
It's like the Romulans on Deep Space Nine found themselves in a hashish shop in Washington State. This is 2029.
You know, I got a bucket. I got a bucket list. Give me a number 12 fire can from the number 12 gasoline can.
You know what I like though is that he said the last time he was on, he did this whole like nonsense about how he and O'Reilly, like, if they didn't have those strenuous work obligations of being drunk and talking on Fox News together, that they would just love nothing more and to live in the heartland. And then he says in the middle of that, live in Rome for a year. And then
right.
he pauses almost poignantly, and he's just like, that one's not a joke.
That one's
serious.
All right. Now, I'm going to make a prediction. I haven't seen the rest of this. I'm wondering if he's going to make a Dear Liza reference to the bucket. At one
I hope so. Oh, no, that would actually make me happy.
All right. Let's hear where he goes.
Yes.
Yeah. Is a transgendered man. That's one thing I'd like to do.
Pause
I would
it.
Like to
now, you know what they were able to do here? Let's just analyze that joke. He said transgendered man.
Right.
That's the that's both the premise and the punchline for that joke. I actually went on Bill O'Reilly's show and said transgendered man.
I was on Bill O'Reilly and I said I would vote for a tranny as president. Bada bing! Controversy! I didn't even need an obscure movie reference to land that one.
This is why this whole movement on college campuses to silence people. If it wasn't for guys like Dennis Miller, we wouldn't have this insightful, revealing humor about transgenders, about transgenderism.
It's so edgy.
It's so edgy.
It's so edgy because
really helping
the whole thing
society.
The whole thing is, don't they look weird? They're weird. They're weird. Come on. You can't tell me it's not weird. You can't tell me that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm sure if Lenny Bruce was alive today, he would totally be on Bill O'Reilly with a glazed look on his face being like, I would vote for a tranny. Am I right? College students can't handle this.
They can't handle it.
That bold,
hey, look,
open thinking.
Make up your mind. Man or woman. Man or woman, choo-choo.
Can you imagine if, you know, Dennis Miller could... I wonder if the next joke is going to be like, I also hope to vote for a Jew who turned out to be a convert.
It's like the board game Choose Your Own Adventure. Make a choice here. Am I right?
Oh, my God.
Well, that was a little Dennis... That was a little Dice.
Yeah, it's all dice.
I don't know dice.
Well, you're slipping dice. Okay,
dice.
Let's go. Dennis Miller.
I would like to live in Rome for a year, and that one's just seriously. I would like to climb Everest. Down, but not up. That's the caveat on this one. Down, but not up.
Oh, my God.
I would
what?
Like to fly
He
solo
writes that as a joke? That cannot be a joke. That can't even be something you say in normal conversation. Hey, I want to handle Everest. I want to handle Everest. But you know what? I want to go down.
That's when everyone at the table or the bar just sort of rolls their eyes and goes, oh, geez, how the F are we going to get away
O'Reilly,
from this?
O'Reilly goes, that's what my wife said. Down the stairs.
Across the Atlantic. Wait a second. That's not mine. That's Lindbergh. Sorry. I got my notes mixed up here. I would like
Wait a second. He just said, I want to cross the Atlantic. He was making a Lindbergh joke.
Oh. This is the only way. This is the only reaction you could have to Dennis Miller. Not laughter. Oh, I see the connection.
Oh, I get it. That was a reference to another reference. And then you insult the transgender
people. I got
Amelia
Earhart on the back of Frank Lloyd Wright sitting on the jalopy.
Lindbergh's an interesting person for him to be getting his papers mixed up with.
Yes, indeed. Like, I also want to burn some synagogues. Oh, wait a second.
Hold on a second. Wait a second. I got my wires crossed.
It's just, I mean.
I want to lead a pogrom. Oh, excuse me. Wrong reference.
All right, let's keep it.
Solo in a propeller plane across the Atlantic. Wait a second, that's not mine, that's Lindbergh. Sorry, I got my notes mixed up here.
Oh my God, hold on, I gotta laugh. Hold on, let me laugh.
Time's over, that's on my bucket list. And lastly, and most importantly, and you can help me out on this one, Billy, I got my thing here, I'll check this one off right now. Instead of Miller on my bucket list, I would like you to call me Dennis, then eventually Denny, and then somewhere down the road when you feel comfortable, I would like you to call me Cuddle Monkey. Can we get this one off the bucket list right now? Can you say that's a great segment, Cuddle Monkey?
No.
Help me out. It's right here. It's right here.
Dennis, I called you Dennis.
Is Bill O'Reilly bailing?
All right?
No.
Is Bill O'Reilly
bailing
on the page? But
it's
the CM phrase that you
monkey.
Want. Yeah, I know. The CM phrase.
Call me Cuddle Monkey.
At your funeral.
Bill Cuddle Monkey.
When I'm eulogizing
call
you.
Call me Cuddle Monkey.
When I'm putting
Somebody
you in
over
the ground.
There, call me Cuddle Monkey.
When I'm throwing dirt on the coffin.
Bill O'Reilly's funnier than Dennis Miller.
When you'll be called CM. Dennis Miller, everybody.
Can you imagine how much fun that private plane is when those assholes go to their gigs?
Was this guy, I always ask you guys this question, but I mean, was there really, how the hell did this guy have a career in comedy? I mean, honestly.
I'm now willing to say that I think if you watch the black and white movie, it holds up. Who cares? At some point, it's over.
Well, plus,
you know what I mean?
Like, to be fair, his references were 30 years more relevant when he was actually successful as a comedian. He's using the same references.
I mean, but still, you know, just that. Like, I mean, did he do material?
Oh,
like,
this
call
just
me
feels
Cuddle
like,
Monkey?
This just feels like I've got to do my thing. Oh, damn it. Does anybody have a pen and a paper?
Right.
Hey, could you get me a bucket? all right, let's just do this.
I guess on some level, you kind of can. I can respect the level of disrespect that he brings to being on O'Reilly.
It would be.
Oh, he thinks he's like Albert Brooks. He goes, yeah, I heard Albert Brooks just went on the Tonight Show and winged it. I'll go on Bill O'Reilly's show and wing it. First of all, are Fox viewers, do they like this? Don't they like Larry the Cable Guy? They don't like this, do they?
No, they're older, so his references might actually be capturing.
Oh, the Lindbergh thing. What they know everybody about. Was like, that's yeah. contemporary reference for me, I think. For most.
People might somehow think this is funny.
Oh, definitely.
Fox I think viewers? This.
Yes, I mean, if you watch
Fox News,
if you watch boy. Bill O'Reilly with any level of earnestness, you just got to be going like, this guy Dennis Miller, he's going to be huge.
He's going to be huge. Yeah,
Bill always, Bill O'Reilly always gets him on their way up.
Oh man,
that kid's going somewhere. The way Bill O'Reilly's
young whippersnapper. Yeah.
Look at that. Call me Cotto Monkey. Call me Cotto Monkey. Just call me Cotto Monkey.
Did you that see O'Reilly like last first? Night where this guy said, call me Cotto Monkey?
Did you see that? And another thing I like about him is that so many of them comics are Jews. And you got this young Irish fella just doing dynamic humor where he connects characters from Star Trek with called woman bitches. It's amazing.
That's the first time I've ever picked up on his Pittsburgh accent, which he has not lost.
He has what?
He has a Pittsburgh accent.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely, that's where the family's from.
Yeah. I've never really picked up on it before. I'm also from Pittsburgh, and I have no accent. Thanks.
No, you don't have that accent.
Thank you.
You also, you don't have the references. You know what I'm saying? Willie Stargell. All of a sudden, I got Willie Stargell walking down Steel Town. Looking for a Philadelphia cheese sandwich.
Kindler.
You got it, baby.
All right. Well, Andy, I appreciate your... what are you watching these days? What are you watching these days? You can give us a little...
You know what I saw? A show that I liked was High Maintenance. I watched that in the plane.
It's a great show.
What is that show? I've never even heard of it.
It's on HBO, and it is very funny. It's I can't even describe what it is.
Kelly just shook her head.
Amy Ryan's on it. I saw Eric Slovin on it.
I saw Slovin the other day. I ran into him right around the corner from the office.
This is the show that started on, I think, on Vimeo, and it basically follows a weed dealer around to different people that he makes deliveries on.
What is it, based in Denmark?
It's based in New York. It's
like a Meals on Wheels.
It's like Meals on Wheels.
It's very rococo.
I'd like to arrest an old lady.
Did you see that?
How hilarious would it be if he was transgender?
How great was it, that video of the cop pushing the old lady over in Phoenix? I'd like to do that. Oh, wait, excuse me. The joke only sort of works because it happened a couple of days ago.
Imagine
if only there was footage of an old lady getting pushed over 30 years ago that I referenced that.
Imagine if the dealer was white and the guys buying the pot was black. How hilarious would that be? I'd love to see that. I'm putting him on my bucket list.
The cop was a girl, but it turned out she was transgendered. Ow!
Ah!
I guess
that's nice. That's what makes the show funny.
You know what's amazing? There's literally no joke that he said there. There's not even. You could run that by any comedy lab in the country. And when he says, "I want the old lady to be a transgendered man," what is the joke? There's no humor there.
Well, imagine if for a moment the guy was Meals on Wheels selling tribbles.
Are you doing tribbles from Star Trek?
Yeah. Yeah.
Imagine
it's
if
like
it was a black
with,
guy.
It's like the Trouble with Tribbles episode.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's so many tribbles.
It's like Captain Spock at a Vegas strip
club. The commissary on the USS Enterprise.
That's quintessential Cedar. Commissary.
But I think my argument would be he's not successful now, Dennis Miller, because he used to have a right-wing radio show. That doesn't happen anymore.
Does he not have a radio show anymore?
All he has are these appearances in O'Reilly now.
Is his radio show over? You know what? Even his Adam Carolla podcast... which we were going to, the first podcast we were going to launch alongside the Majority Report was to just listen to the Adam Carolla, Dennis Miller podcast and mock it. But they,
wait,
then
I
they
thought
stopped.
It was Dennis Prager.
What's that? Was he doing more?
I thought you guys said Dennis Prager.
No.
And Dennis Miller or Adam Carolla.
No, well, no, Prager. No. They're doing a documentary together. Dennis Prager and Adam Carolla.
Is that right?
Yeah, you told me about it. But no, no, it was going to be, it was a podcast with Miller and Carolla, and it was called PO'd, and Sam and I were going to call ours PU'd.
Then they canceled it.
I just review it every week.
They canceled it.
Oh, they canceled it or never even got off the ground?
I think they did one episode.
Do you remember what Sarah Silverman said about Adam Carolla? This is, I say, yeah. I remember this because it's the only thing involving Adam Carolla that ever made me laugh. She said he looked like Pete Sampras with Down syndrome.
I'm not laughing at the Down syndrome. I'm laughing at the way you said it. I object to your reference. I liked your rhythm.
Andy, thank you so much.
Love you. That bank.
Take it easy. Take care of your voice, will you, please?
I love you guys.
Love you, too.
Bye-bye. Bye, Kindler. It's Kindler, guys.
Hey, it's Kindler.
It's
all on
Cattle Monkey. Oh, wait a second. He's still on the phone. I didn't hang up on him. All right, folks. Going to take a quick break. Head in. What? Oh, do we got a Jimmy Reef Cake song?
It's called Don't Grow Up to Be Another Hypocrite.
Don't Grow Up to Be Another Hypocrite by Jimmy Reef Cake.
Song by Jimmy Reef Cake.
You gotta grow up. Stop looking like a slob. You gotta grow up and get a real job. But don't grow up and become another hypocrite. Like the rest of them, you can lie to your kids about Santa Claus, but you can't lie to them about marijuana laws. So don't grow up repeating those lies. Don't grow up the hypocrite that you once despised. If you gotta grow up, don't become another hypocrite like the rest of them. 75 years of prohibition, the story's getting old. That's because of all our politicians. They've been bought and sold. You gotta move up with the social mobility, but you better watch out for the well-informed futility. Don't grow up and become another hypocrite like the rest of them did.
I'm probably gonna tell my kids if I have them to not smoke weed.
You know, that was a. That was, I mean, I. It is. I have to say the it's been an interesting. You know, I experience this now with my daughter. She's 11 years old, and she grew up, and she was a big. Who's that guy? The singer, the
Weird Al Yankovic.
No, the young teen singer,
Ed Sheeran.
Bieber. She was a Justin Bieber fan, and then when he had his, and then you know, and a Michael Jackson fan, and you had all these, you know, Justin Bieber got in trouble with drugs. You know, that's how she hears it, just drugs, and Michael Jackson died of a drug overdose, and. So she became, you know, obviously it's like drugs are very bad. And this is, you know, you want to tell your kids to be cautious. I mean, I don't have a problem with marijuana. I do have a problem with an 11-year-old girl smoking marijuana or boy, for that matter. and so. So it's been we're in that transition stage. Where when she talks about, like, I'm never going to do drugs. And I said, look, you know.
I don't know about that.
What it's helpful is the move to legalize marijuana. It makes it much easier to talk about. Because, you know, I tell you, like, you know, I've smoked marijuana. It is going to probably be legal by the time you are 18, which I think is a good time for you if you want to try it. But if you end up trying it before then, you know, just moderation.
Drugs and there are other bad, drugs that, but they're the reason that daddy hasn't killed mommy. So there's always multiple sides to the story.
There's other drugs, but it's made it, the move to legalize it has made it easier to talk about because you know, I want her to, it's confusing for kids. Like, why is it that so many people smoke pot, but it's illegal?
Heroin bad. Daddy's smoking a spliff so he doesn't kill all of the members of mommy's side of the family. Good. That's why daddy's...
I mean, wouldn't you rather smoke pot than drink, really?
Me?
Yeah.
I mean, I
at a young age, both. I mean, it would be, it's more both difficult to get a handle on your...
It depends on the context. It depends on the context.
Depends what it's laced with.
No, I mean, I think... It depends on the context as to whether or not I prefer to drink or smoke.
Yeah. We're very cerebral.
Yeah.
Getting into that was like that old Chappelle had a great sketch about.
I like to sit down with a glass of bourbon and get into a Twitter war, but I don't know if I want to do that when I'm high.
Yeah, it's what actually exactly that's an interesting that's an interesting question. What when you're high and someone comes at you and you're like, "No, it's time to admit that the Democratic Party would have started a nuclear holocaust and we need one party fascism." And you're high, how do you respond versus when you're drunk?
And nobody's done that. You mean people coming up to me on the street
when
I'm
high?
No,
no, no, Twitter. I'm talking Twitter high versus
Are
Twitter
you
drunk.
High on the street?
What? No.
Of course he's high on the street. No. He's high right now.
But I don't you know, the thing is, I don't get high and go on Twitter. Okay, I just don't.
Right,
I'm not
so
sitting
not,
around, you know, because I can't sleep if I'm high.
You're not
and
more.
So if I get high at... I don't know. I probably would wait to the kids to go to sleep, and that would be 10:30. And then I get high. I'm up until like 4 in the morning, which happens anyways, but I don't want to actually.
So you're not more patient on Twitter when you're high versus drunk because you don't know?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, having a glass of bourbon doesn't change
yeah,
my
exactly.
Twitter
you're
attitude
not
much
necessarily
anyway.
Getting drunk.
Right,
that's
exactly.
why what I was kind of. Thinking about your comparison of alcohol versus weed for Myla, because that's not how kids drink. They don't drink a reasonably like a
also
two
a
fingers
bourbon.
Of bourbon.
No.
They drink like stupid.
No, Myla
Four
sips
Loko,
wine.
Like,
no, no, yeah, she Myla? Sips wine. I mean, she'll go to tastings. All right, wait. Let's go to the fun half. All right, folks, you can support the show. Join themajorityreport.com. See you in the fun half, 646-257-3920 is the number.